Welcome to Lily of the Herbs Talks. Lily created this podcast to share herbal wisdom and plant magic. She seeks to catch the plant people nestled throughout Australia and talk to them about their secrets and knowledge of traditional plant remedies, foraging, medicine making, and plant connection. Welcome back to Lily of the Herbs Talks. I hope you've all been well and that winter is treating you nicely here in the Southern Hemisphere. It's definitely getting a lot colder in Warrandyte, and I've been rugging up, doing lots of body oiling, and trying to go for runs to keep my circulation going. Enjoying this chance to have cozy nights by the fire and eat soups, drink lots of teas, and hop into bed as soon as the sun goes down. So I hope you're all nourishing your yin and replenishing this cooler time of the year. This episode is a really beautiful little snippet from a chat that I had with my dear friend Eloise. Eloise is an intuitive guide. She helps people to connect with their intuition and to trust the innate knowledge that flows through us and the connections and signs that we have coming through our senses. And specifically, this chat is around how we can commune with plants and how we can develop our subtle awarenesses and our senses to be open to the lessons that they may have for us. I think that plants have been around for a lot longer than we have. And each plant, you know, will come to us at a different time and have really important lessons and support and guidance for us to get through transitions such as heartbreak, which we discussed towards the end of the session. And yeah, they all have their own flavor, their own personality. And, you know, it's so exciting knowing that we've not only got more human friends to meet out there, but also plant friends. I will share more at the end of the podcast about how you can connect with Eloise and do more training with her teacher, Sharon, in connecting to plant spirits. And welcome back to another episode of Lily of the Herbs Talks. I haven't recorded a podcast in ages, and so I'm so excited to have my beautiful friend Eloise here. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's such an honor.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you. So Eloise, I'll give you some backstory. Eloise and I just like walked into each other's lives this time last year, and it was like a wildfire that went off. I was calling in a friend exactly like her, and she was calling in a friend like me. And then she just arrived at my house for a women's circle that no one else came to.
And here we are, Lil.
A year later, recording a podcast. And Eloise is a really, really incredibly inspiring woman as a business woman. She runs a big training. Okay, I'm stumbling with my words here, but how do I describe what you do, Eloise? Can you describe for me?
It's a good question. Yeah. So I teach psychic and intuitive development. So really focusing on supporting people in deepening their psychic senses and opening up their intuition, because I'm a firm believer that we are all psychic and we're all intuitive. So sometimes we just need a space that allows us to deepen into those gifts.
Beautiful. I feel like we do. I feel like there's so many choices and we're bombarded with all this information all the time. And all we really have is our own inner compass. Yeah. And unless we have that connection to the inner compass, then we're lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think, why I want Eloise here, is because I get a lot of, you know, I'm running all these herbal courses, and with my clients, they're often coming to me and being like, oh, I saw this plant, like, what does it do? Or is this how I should work with it? And, you know, valid questions until you gain confidence. But at the end of the day, there's no book can ever give you all the information. All you ever have at the end of the day is your own experiential knowledge and that wisdom that comes from the plants. And so I guess what I'm wanting to hear from you, Eloise, is I'm not going to get you to give away all your secrets today. You'll have to train with her for that. But she will be giving us some beautiful tips. But yeah, do you have any stories for me about when your intuition has really helped you to connect to a plant and how it's helped you?
So many. So Before jumping into any of this, I just really want to honor my teacher, Sharon Bolt, from Shamanic Energy Training and the White Dragon Lineage, who is my teacher in shamanism, animism, plant spirit communion and connection, ritual, magic, etc. So she is a master of connecting with the plants, working with the plants, and has really opened my awareness up to connecting with plant spirits and the beautiful world of plants. So I really want to honor her, because I definitely would not be even focusing on connecting with plant spirits and co-creating with them in this way without her. So I really want to honor Sharon, and that, you know, a lot of the plant connection tools and wisdom and anything that I share really does come from her and the work that I've done with her and the training that I've done with her. So big shout out to you, Sharon. Thank you so much for all you do for the plant kingdom and for the humans. And so I'm going to start with cacao first, because that has been, she's been my main plant that's been a big love affair of mine for a long time, and a really great example of how the plants have really opened me up and what they've taught me.
Mm-hmm.
So with the plant communion work, I've spent a lot of time focusing on developing a relationship with cacao. So for me, that's looked like many different things, but sitting in ceremony with her, meditating, cultivating a connection, learning more about cacao, and learning about my specific energy and how it interacts with cacao and what specific lessons she has for me. And so I would just notice when connecting with her, when drinking cacao, how my body responds, what themes start coming up for me, what emotions start coming up, what happens internally in my body somatically, and what starts happening in my life around, you know, different themes, different lessons, different aspects I'm moving through. So for me, cacao has just taught me so much about the heart, and so much about processing emotions in the heart that can get stuck there, as well as just such an amazing all-rounder plant that can connect with all of the energy centers and really take you deep within them, within yourselves. Because, you know, I see any sort of plant connection work or spiritual work or personal development work, energy work that we do, is a gateway into understanding ourselves deeper to become a more integrated human. And so in saying that, cacao is one of the main plants that I work with in my psychic development groups as well, because she's such an amazing all-rounder for the energy centers, which are, you know, one of the ways that we open up our energy to connect in with psychic information and intuitive information. So in saying that, going beyond connecting with cacao, there's many other plants that I've focused my time and energy on building a relationship with. And what I've learned about myself in the process through the focus or lessons the plant bring in for me, as well as the wisdom from the plants, and, you know, even just sitting with them and getting to know them, there's so much information and wisdom that's shared about them, about humanity, about life, about how to be a more integrated human. They are such great teachers. And, you know, when we're speaking, you're able to tune into the subtle energies of the plants and what they hold. It could be any vegetable, it could be any herb, it could be any weed that we find out there. They all, plants have so much wisdom for us.
Definitely. And I think that's one of the, you know, the key aspects to this discussion with you. I mean, what I, one of the threads that I teach is these kind of three bodies of the plants, which I like to teach, not so much this last one, which we're talking about, but the first one is like that physical realm, the constituents, the fibers, the chlorophyll, you know, the water that's, that make up that, that plant itself, like in the medicinal actions, you know. So this one's a laxative, or this one's bitter, you know, there's that really material thing that you can see, taste, and feel. And then there's the kind of this second realm, which I talk a lot about, which is more the energetic realm or the elemental realm. So like it's a fiery plant or it's a watery plant. and that makeup. But then there's the third one, which is sort of like the ethereal realm or the subtle realm. And it's something that I don't have, you know, it's only, I haven't done any specific training in it. It's only my own subtle experiences with plants that I'm really going off here. But I think you've done so much work in that. And that's where you're going, you know, you're teaching intuition, but you're, I suppose, specializing in the subtle realms, the etheric realms.
Definitely, of yes. tuning into energy. And yep. so plants aren't my specialty, but tuning into energy is. And so how to read energy using your clairsentience, so feeling, or clairaudience, hearing, clairvoyance, seeing. And so that can be applied to many different aspects and facets of life. Some people apply it to communicating with plants, and then other people apply it to communicating with the earth or communicating with their business, or however you wish to have your intuition guiding you.
I need to do that to connect to my business. Yeah.
And so in saying that, you know, there's so many different aspects we can tune into the subtle realms and our intuition for, and plants are such a beautiful aspect of that because there's so much more to them than meets the eye. Especially, I want to say, the subtle plants, right? So not just the master plants that, you know, a lot of people sit in ceremonies and psychoactive ceremonies, etc., but then the subtle plants get overlooked. And this is something my teacher Sharon speaks about a lot as well. There's so much wisdom from the subtle plants that, you know, don't get that limelight or that focus as much, but they have just as much wisdom for us too.
And how, when you're talking about those clairsentiences, you know, how we see them, how they smell, how they, you know, that's the way that we're receiving information from them.
Yeah.
And that's our way of, in a sense, I guess, communicating with them. Can you speak to that a little bit more? Wow, I just saw this dog running way off. Well, there's your dog. Wow.
That's my dog.
running way out in the field.
He's just doing laps.
Oh, my gosh.
There's another one.
That's great. I love seeing them run free.
So happy. How to specifically connect in with the plants through the psychic senses. So it's the idea that clairsentience is essentially our psychic sense of feeling. So it's what sort of feelings do you get when you're working with this plant, when you're drinking this plant, when you're holding the plant, or also tuning into, there's just another one running off there in the distance going the other way.
Great.
And, you know, your clairvoyance, so the psychic sense of seeing. So when you're working with the plant, you know, you might be meditating or connecting, or might have a certain symbol come through, or something that you see, or something that you hear. You know, sometimes I do hear the voice of the plant and how that voice sounds for me. And so that kind of may bring through different information and wisdom from the plant through what I'm hearing from them and what they're telling me. So it's working with the psychic senses in these different ways to receive information from the plants.
And we all receive these, correct me if I'm wrong, these clairsentient kind of messages in different ways. Like for me, I'm more visual. I don't really hear voices from plants, but I'll see visions or dreams or things like that. Yeah.
And I do want to stop here and say we are all of the psychic senses. Even if you feel more connected to visually clairvoyance and what you see, etc., or even if you do tend to feel more, you still do have all the psychic senses within you that you're able to connect in with. And so it's about cultivating a relationship to them, which does take time and practice and patience. So, you know, it's one of those things where we are all of the things, and it's about choosing how we wish to connect in.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that I think that we could develop all of those things. That's what I even say about just connecting to plants in general, or being a herbalist. I'm like, you know, we're all herbalists. We all innately know how to heal ourselves through plants, but it takes that practice, and it takes just time after time, you know, maybe connecting with a plant, making a medicine, maybe the medicine went off, making it again, you know, taking it, you know, we develop that skill within us for sure.
Yeah.
Something I've written down all these questions, so I think I'll ask you some of
Yeah,
them.
let's do
One of
it.
them is, how would the world be a better place if we knew how to communicate with plants on a deeper level and we worked with them to heal our personal, I guess, traumas or stories?
Well, I see it from the perspective of because we all have our own specific energy and our own specific frequency and specific things that work with us, it's the idea that yes, plants do have these blanket themes that they work with or these blanket uses for healing certain ailments, etc. But there may be some that are better for our specific energy than others. Or
Okay.
there may be some that, work with our energy in a specific way or to heal a specific thing than others. And so it's the idea of when we're able to connect into the subtleties of plants and what they have to teach us and our intuition with the plants, we can also deepen into that relationship of the specifics of how it relates to us. So you can go much deeper on a personal level with the plant, with its properties, with its healing aspects, as well as with its lessons and themes that it may bring in for you as well.
Okay, so if we chose that, if we found a specific plant that was right for us, right where we were at that point in time, then I guess I'm trying to say, like, would the world be a more harmonious place if we were working with plants?
Well, yeah, because we'll be more in harmony with ourselves working with the plants that are right for us and that are specific to us. And then, on a greater scale and perspective, we live on Earth, right? Which is, we live in nature. We are meant to be one with nature, but that can get quite often forgotten or quite often lost. And so, in saying that, the more we are in tune with plants, with nature, with the world around us, the more we're going to treat the earth and nature with respect. Because from an animistic perspective, everything is a spirit. And so when you commune with everything around you, instead of seeing it as something to use, you see it as a living, breathing thing, like another human that you're talking to. You're gonna wanna treat it with more respect and more reverence because the plants and the earth and the natural world, the animals do so much for us. They give so much, but we are brought up in this consumeristic capitalist society in Western society where it's more so take, take, take without looking at things from that lens of we are in communion with plants or we are in communion with nature. And you see that reflected much more deeply in indigenous and traditional teachings because there is that oneness with nature and that oneness with the plants and that understanding of communing with the natural world instead of taking from it and feeling separate to it. So there's a real beauty on a greater scale of if we all started really working with plants and understanding plants and, communing with them as beings, then there'd be such a deepening of our connection to nature and our connection to the earth and our oneness, recognizing the interconnection instead of the separateness.
100% for sure, and that's what we need. And I'll just breathe with that for a second. But it's a lot. But and it sometimes I, and I'm 100% with you on that. But then I just feel like I'm like, we're so far from
Yeah. When we talk
it.
about it, it can also be a little bit daunting of like
Yeah.
it might take a lot of work to get there, but at the same time, it starts with the individual.
Yeah.
It starts with our own education. So what you do, Lil, around educating people on connecting with the plants on a real physical level, how to work with the healing properties of plants and, how to work with herbalism to heal yourself and to make, aspects to support you and so, and to make medicines essentially. And that's incredibly empowering. And so it starts with the individual. Then, someone may feel, oh, I feel like I want to start deepening into connecting with my intuition and the plants, or connecting with my intuition to connect with myself, or to connect with the plant spirits to deepen on that level. And so it starts with the individual, and that can emanate out at a greater level. And, you know, more and more people start working with nature and the plants more intentionally, and suddenly it becomes wider knowledge.
Yeah, you're right. It's small steps, and I think we will get there. I guess I have a fear, this is not on the list of questions we talked about, but sometimes I notice it within myself, you know, my work, it's a lot of time online, you know, and we're increasingly dependent on technology for so many things. And it's incredible. We can run our businesses through it. We can get our name out there so more people can connect with this work, which is beautiful. But there is this darker side. And I, you know, after I've been doing a couple of hours of like admin, as we were before, you know, then it's like my eyes become square. And you almost feel like, just like I feel square. And I just know so many people are like that. And I'm just like, wow, how could we all just tear ourselves away a little bit longer from these screens, and go out, find a plant and just sit with it with no agenda. And the reality is when there's all this fast, quick kind of like stuff going on, it can be hard to slow down enough to attune, to reattune to like, oh my God, I have a physical body.
Yeah.
Whoa, there's like earth out there, you know, things are growing. So I mean, that I think I see as one of the biggest threats to this moving forward connection to nature. Do you agree?
There's the shadow and light of everything. And obviously there are beautiful aspects that can come out of technology. And yes, we do rely on it so much, but yes, there is a huge shadow element as well that is really contributing to that sense of disconnection from nature and from our bodies, because it's so easy to get triggered and disassociate by just going for your phone and scrolling or watching a show or something else that's just going to take you out of your body and focus somewhere else. So, you know, when we were kids, there was so much more going out and being in nature and going for walks and going to the beach and, you know, just hanging out in nature. And I find that can often be forgotten about with the introduction of so much technology for little ones as well. Like a lot of little ones spending a lot of time on iPads and watching things. And yeah, it can contribute to that feeling of feeling a bit separate from nature. But also, it can provide us with the motivation to go and get out there and, like you said, connect with a plant, sit by a tree, walk through the trees or the forest, and really creating intentional time to go and be with nature, because it's something that, you know, when you live in the city and when you're on technology a lot, it's something you probably do need to schedule in to get enough of that connection to the earth and essentially to ground into your body and be present with nature, be present with yourself as well. So it can be worked towards, but it's often forgot as well.
Definitely. Yeah. So I think that's a good tip. If you're going to take anything away, schedule that time in. And something when scheduling this time in, I mean, it can just be walking wherever and just noticing plants. And I like to like brush my hands up against them sometimes.
And smelling them as well, right? You can engage all the senses to connect with nature and to connect with the plants that really enhance your connection with them, because you're having that multifaceted experience instead of looking at it and going, oh, it's that. You can smell it, you can hear it, the sound that it makes. How do you feel? Like you said, brushing your hand against it. There's so many different ways of connecting and becoming more present with our senses, which means we're going to be more present in nature.
Which leads me to, like, I guess, two key points. So imagine we've been doing that. We're in a nature walk. We've been connecting just with our senses. And then imagine we do want to take something. So we're wanting to harvest a little bit of plant material. So is there anything that you would recommend?
Yes. So this is one of my favorite tips from my teacher, Sharon, around recognizing that plants have – feelings too. And so in saying that, when we're harvesting plants, when we're pulling off a branch or a flower or anything like that, that could impact the plant. That could hurt the plant as well. Mm. So something that I like to do is just letting the plant know that I'm going to take a flower, or first of all, just asking and noticing if you feel a no or if you feel a yes. And plants are very giving, that quite often, you know, they're very abundant, right? You can see all the trees out there with so many leaves. They're so abundant. But in saying that, just checking in can really bring that intentionality to, I'm actually interacting with not this physical thing for me to go and take from, but I'm interacting with a spirit, with another being that also has feelings. So just checking in. Can I take a flower? Can I pick a flower? And then before doing that, I let them know that I'm going to be doing that. So to just draw their energy in so that it's not going to hurt them as much and they're not going to feel it as much. So there can be that real intentionality. And it really, I find, brings me back to that co-creation with the plants and that communion and remembering that they are spirits too. They are beings for us to connect with and be with and communicate with. Yeah.
For sure, I'm not going to come and rip out some of your hair without.
Imagine.
Can I have a magical hair?
Can I steal a hair for my spells?
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful. I think it's a very important point. And also just checking in with your intention as well. I think why do we need to pick this? You know, what is the intention behind it? And yeah, often plants, they are giving. They want to share. They want to be consumed, or, you know, they want to be of service. But yeah, like, do I need this as well?
Yeah. And practicing that deep listening with them of, you know, sometimes I'll ask, can I pick some flowers? And the plant will say, and I'll feel or hear or see the number, and they'll say only three.
Okay.
You can have three flowers. And that reminds me to be like, oh yeah, I'm not just going to come and take. I'm going to be in communion with this plant, and they're happy to give a few flowers, and I'm going to respect their boundary.
Great.
So you're really practicing that co-creation with nature and deep listening.
Beautiful. And was the other thing that I wanted to say, so that's like a really important point around just checking in before harvesting, but in terms of connecting with plant spirits, like, there are many plant spirits, and there are some, I would say, there's benevolent ones, and then maybe there's some more malevolent plant spirits. Is that how you say it? Malevolent?
It's malevolent.
Malevolent.
So there's benevolent and malevolent. Just like there is in everything, because everything, there's polarity, right? Yeah. It's one of the universal laws of polarity. And so it's the idea that just as we have shadow and light, so can plants too. And so this is where, you know, it is something to be mindful of when working with plant spirits. It does take deepening your connection to your psychic senses and your intuition, and really being clear on what's coming through, as well as, you know, the work that Sharon teaches. There's so many nuances of connecting in with the plants that it can really help to have a foundational base of understanding of how to work with plant spirits. Because when you open up to working with any spirit, you're opening up to a whole new dimension of interactions, but also of boundaries that you need to have as well. So there's just something to be said for really having a foundational framework to work from when opening up to any sort of spirits, spirit work, anything like that.
For sure. And I think that's probably really true, with psychoactive plants, that if you're too much too soon, or not in the right environment, not with the right intention, can be dangerous and can lead to some extremely disorientating experiences, which maybe are a bit of a slap on the wrist as well, you know, like, so you can handle this, did you? I don't think there's any evil plants out there necessarily, but there's some that will really teach a lesson. And everything is medicine, I always say, in the right amount at the right moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. As well as not exploiting a plant and, you know, like you said, overdoing it, where I can absolutely speak from example. I've definitely had too much cacao before and overdone it and been slapped in the face, whether physically or energetically, or really playing out the shadow of that plant, because all plants have their shadow. So there can be those aspects, as well as, you know, there's some plants that will teach us lessons the hard way. There's some plants that maybe their medicine is heartbreak. And so when we're working with that plant to truly understand its energy and its multifaceted being and its teachings, maybe we have to go through heartbreak as well to really learn those lessons that the plant has to teach us. So absolutely, there's, you know, there's subtle plants, but their lessons sometimes are not so subtle either. But it's really important to know what you're doing and also be in reverence to the plants.
Wow. Yeah, I want to hear your heartbreak story, but we don't have to share that.
Another day.
We don't have to share that right now. Yeah, I think they can be. So many plants are those, speaking of heartbreaks still, not your personal story, but just so many plants I feel like are in my sphere can really help with matters of the heart and heartbreak. You know, just like Hawthorn's one, just with its like spike, a bit like rose, you know, it's got those spikes. It's sort of teaching the boundaries of the heart.
Yeah.
Being like, okay, you know, love you, but gonna have to leave you, kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whereas other plants, like rose, to me seems a lot. In a way, I feel like it's a bit softer.
Yeah. Rose is an interesting one, because I find rose is a really good example, actually, of how we can all have such different experiences of the plants and how plants can have specific medicine for us. And so this is less so speaking on a physical health benefit, healing level, but more so on an emotional level. A lot of people I find speak about the softness of rose, the grace of rose, the softening, the beauty, etc. And for me, rose has been not soft at all. It's probably one of the toughest initiators and plants that I've worked with. Every time I've worked with rose, it's been very intense. It's been very deep. It's brought a lot up and, you know, very, very not soft at all.
Okay.
Quite intense and forthright and powerful lessons. And so in saying that, it's just such a good example of how we can all have such different subjective experiences and connections to these plants and what they bring up in us and what they show us and open up for us.
Yeah, I like that, because I've sort of thought of it as like a mending, sort of soothing, a, you know, being, oh, you'll be all right, we'll just knit that up again. You're just kind of like
cracking open instead, which is the absolute opposite energy, but two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, whereas blue lotus for me has been I also have found that to be soft, like,
yeah,
but just like, like, like a luscious woman at a, you know, on a dance floor or something, just being like, have an amazing time.
I have found lotus nice and soft and soothing because of the work that she does with the nervous system as well.
Yeah.
That real regulation of the nervous system.
Yeah. Any other heart ones that you come to mind?
There's so many. It's interesting you say that, because I have pondered before how many plants work with the heart as well, because plants can hold, especially, you know, the positive, the light aspects of the plant can really hold that frequency of love.
Yeah.
And so that frequency is deeply associated with the heart. And so there's so many. I've found rose, cacao, rosemary can be very heart related, I've found as well. And, you know, it depends what you're doing with the heart too, because things like peppermint can be really supportive in rejuvenating the heart. Mm. Depends what's going on with the heart. And, gosh, there's so many, but my mind's gone blank.
I think I was reading Robin Rose Benet. My friend Rosie gave me her book, and I've just been loving the way she's from America, and she just loves, you know, when there's a herb book and it's literally, you read each chapter and it's about they're talking about their oldest friend, because they've had so many great experiences. She was recommending lavender for a lot of her heartbroken friends, just having a lavender tea every day, maybe some lavender infused oil, and just about regaining that sense of self-confidence and being like, I deserve love. And I really like that about lavender.
As you say that, I will say a lot of the flowers I find a very deeply heart connecting. Like looking at that protea over there, beautiful pinks and reds and light pinks, hot pinks. You can really see the colors of the heart reflected in the flowers and reflected in nature as well. And you know, the symbology from the plants, you can really see in their colors that they express. Same with things like geranium have been amazing for the heart. And as you said, lavender and some other flowers have just been incredibly soothing and opening for the heart.
So many. I might do some heart work. Another woman I love herbal books as well. I learned so much from herbal books from my own experience, but one plant that's been popping up around me a bit is vervain. You'll see it grows a bit of a weed around Victoria. And I was reading this woman's account of it. I think she's from Central Coast. If you're listening to this, tell me your name. And she was talking about how she'd been looking for a lover for a long time, and then she found a lot of vervain growing around. She made a tea or something with it, and then within a week, all of her ex-lovers had all contacted her and all said, "Hi, I just wanted to let you know that I did love you. It's there was nothing wrong with you. It just wasn't the right time, or this or that, and there was nothing wrong with you. You." And then she was like, "Wow, I and it's not about me. I am so deserving of love." And then was able to just shift her whole mindset, and then the man of the love of her life just happened to be living, I don't know, it was already in her life, but she was able to shift her vision so she could really clearly see him, and I loved that story as well. That was her, whether you attribute it to the plants or not, but if you've got some heartache going on right now, the plants are the ones to help. Your friends will listen to you, but the plants will maybe give you the medicine that you really need.
Yeah, absolutely. To help shift that energy or to help confront it or face it or look at it. Because if you think about it, you know, plants like cacao and rose that are really known for opening the heart. As you open the heart, we need to process the emotions that have been shut down in there, or the emotions that have been stuck in there that haven't had space to come up and out. So the journey to love and that heart opening feeling of love can also often be a journey of processing deep emotions that we haven't allowed ourselves to feel. You know, you can even see that in the reflection of grief in love or love in grief. That quote, I can't remember who it's from, but a lot of people speak about how you only grieve to the extent that you loved. And so, really, they are two sides of the same coin, just different ends of the spectrum of it. And so, you know, so many plants supporting with opening the heart and heart work really do support those emotions coming up and out so that our energy can shift. So that, you know, with that vervain story that you spoke about, so that we can call in what we've been wanting to call in, because that may not have come in for her when she was processing those more murky waters of the heart that may have been stuck in the field. That once that's shifted, then that relationship can come in.
Definitely. I think that's a beautiful thing, and it's just kind of like, as you said, right at the start again, it's like everything at the right time, like the right plant will come to work at the right time, because we do need to go through all of these stages of feeling. And no, this is also probably where flower essences, if you wanted to make a flower essence, would be a beautiful time, because that's working with that etheric body.
Definitely. And I can't speak to flower essences in depth because that's not something I've trained in, but my beautiful friend Jo, I just want to shout out to her because I work with her essences and oh my gosh, since working with them, it is phenomenal noticing, you know, essences are said to be so subtle, right? But the shifts that you see reflected from the themes of the plants that are in the essences reflected in your physical life are not subtle. I remember when I was processing grief and I have one of Jo's essences for processing grief. And I remember taking a few more drops than I should have, being like,
Oh
I'm gonna get this
gosh.
grief out. And I was in
Oh
bed crying for 2 days. And I'm like, what happened? And I reflected and was like, oh wow, I really went crazy on the essences. And I spoke to my friend Jo, and she's like, this is what not to do.
Okay.
So
well, I mean,
they are very
not to
powerful.
Do you feel like you got a lot out or just...
Definitely processed a lot.
Yeah.
But it just never ceases to blow me away, the magic of essences and that subtle medicine that is so powerful. Mm. It really works with that aspect of less is more.
Yeah.
And yeah, Joe's essences have changed my life. I've literally got mine sitting here
Great.
Right now. Joe, Women of Cedar.
Women of Cedar.
This is a blend specifically for me.
Wow.
So there's about 5 or 6 essences in there to support with the themes that I'm working with. So yeah, that's another way of connecting with the plants through essences, because it is such a subtle energy of theirs, but such deep shifts as well. So I really find essence is so supportive for emotional aspects.
Definitely, yeah. And you will get subtler and subtler. Like, I feel like I'm, yeah, requiring less and less of things to just be like, woo!
Yeah.
You know, drop dosing.
Yeah. And it's the idea that the more you work with a plant, the more you connect with a plant, the easier it is to connect, because the deeper the relationship, the deeper your connection with the plant, especially if you're consciously working on connecting and deepening with them, that you don't need as much anymore, because it's an energy that you're used to connecting with. So it can actually be seen as the opposite to what we're taught in society of, you know, then you become immune to it and you need more and more and more. It's actually the deeper you go with it, the more subtle it can be, the less you need.
You can even just call on that plant without being in its physical proximity or even taking anything after a while, calling on that if you have that connection. Definitely.
Absolutely, because it can be so deep in your field.
Yeah.
That connection's always there.
Yeah, because we are one. At the end of the day, we're not separate from nature. So
yeah,
well, we've been chatting through some amazing stuff. I'm just trying to process everything that we've talked about. But I guess we probably can tie it up. I just feel really, like, I feel moved and I feel grateful for having a heart and excited for, you know, I just think that heart work is really one of the most important works at all now. You know, when it comes to the end of the day, like, every client that I see, every person that I'm dealing with, you know, sometimes there are serious health ailments going on, but often it's just a restless heart. You know, it's unprocessed emotion. It's that difficult stuff that is then we're masking, you know, we're going and doing, you know, we're doing things that are sabotaging us because we can't stick and feel these really deep things. But if we can, like, find a plant that allows us to go there and to feel something and to stay with emotion and go through it and then come out the other side changed, or I think that's a better thing.
Absolutely, there's just the heart, I find, is such a gateway and key to deepening into who you really are and into understanding yourself through the emotions that are held there. We hold so much in our heart, and you know, we feel via our heart. Obviously, you know, in other areas of the body, we feel emotions as well. But the heart is a really big processor of emotions. And in traditional Chinese medicine, the heart is known as the emperor because, you know, it is the organ that does govern so much. And, you know, from a physical perspective, our heart keeps us alive by pumping our blood all day, every day, and we don't even have to think about it. So that's on a physical level. On an emotional level, there's so much as well. And, you know, you can really feel, especially the more connected you are to your body, you can feel when your heart's closing down or when your heart's feeling quite open or when your heart's feeling quite numb. And there's so much wisdom for us in that alone. And so plants can be such a supportive way to connect in with the heart, or to really allow the heart to gently and softly open as well, because it's not about forcing our heart open and, you know, prying it open and making ourselves feel love or feel an open heart. If we're not ready, that can be re-traumatizing for the heart. So the plants can be such a beautiful, gentle way of reconnecting with the heart and allowing that gentle unfoldment and processing of emotions and opening that's really sustainable in the long run.
Yeah, and I guess just trusting in the journey as well. If it's feeling sticky, it's feeling confusing, just being like, okay, well, ultimately, I think that the heart does know.
The heart always knows. It's just whether or not we're open to hearing it or receiving it. It's wisdom.
Maybe what is the I'm wanting to call in a plant now, saying it to the world, that will help my heart guide, I guess, it will just help it to trust. I think that it knows. I think that's, like the ultimate trust herb, actually.
And I mean, there's a few for that, but it's going to be so dependent on your own energy because trust is actually such a subjective concept. Do you know what I mean? There's so much that comes into play when talking about trust. And so there's probably a plant that's perfect just for you to work on deepening into trust. And whether that's trust of self, trust of the plants, trust of life, trust of your intuition.
Right, well, I'm keeping an eye out for you, so I'll be looking. Thank you so much, Eloise. Is there any more, anything else you just want to leave listeners with?
That's such an open-ended question, but after our chat today, I think just remembering how much plants give to us, whether we're aware of it or not. So, this is beyond just a physical healing, health benefit level. When we think about, if we're burning sage or if we're working with essential oils and certain plants through that, there's so many themes and so much wisdom that they can bring into our lives as we work with them that we don't even realize that's coming in. So I just want to acknowledge the plants for how much they give without expecting to be acknowledged and to be seen, etc. They're just there and they're just giving, and there's so much wisdom that they hold for us as well. So yeah, just shout out to the plants and for all
Shout out to the plants. Hi.
their wisdom.
Yeah, great. And yeah, if people wanted to work with you more to develop their, tools of intuition and connect into their own center and heart guiding, how could they do that?
So you can find me on Instagram. It's Eloise Filkey Intuitive, and that will have, different things that I talk about, different articles, links to different aspects. There's free masterclasses on there that you can sign up for as well, so you can get started on your deepening journey into your intuition and psychic senses. So you can connect with me through there, and it's just been such a pleasure to chat with you today about the plants.
Yeah, such a pleasure. Well, thank you, and I will be linking everything in the comments for more journeying with Eloise. Thank you for listening. It's always such a pleasure to be able to share on this podcast forum, and I hope you all enjoyed it. If you want to journey more into plant shamanism and connecting and forming a reciprocity, a relationship with plants, Eloise's teacher Sharon's running a workshop in September in Victoria, and she's also running one online in October, and that's called Plant Kingdom, and where you can go a lot more deeply into some of the teachings that Eloise is speaking to. And then also I recommend starting to just connect very simply and starting to notice those everyday plants that are around you and those that you're working with maybe on more of a physical level, starting to connect more of them on an energetic level and seeing how they're touching you and moving you and guiding you in your life there. In terms of my offerings coming up, I have a 4-day training. Sorry, not 4-day. I do have a 4-day training coming up, but I want to speak to the 4-month training that I have coming up in August, which is a huge birthing for me. I've been wanting to run a training like this for so long. I've, come up with countless online trainings, and then, the world's come in the way, but this one is going ahead and it starts in the middle of August, and you will be receiving a medicine making video each week that you can watch in your own time to make medicines from flower essences to tinctures to moxa to balms to oxymels to glycitracts. Just the list is endless poultices. We'll be going through covering all bases. And then it also includes a two-hour live class with me each week in your group, where we'll be going into the, you know, talking about, you know, the herbal foundations. And what are those herbal foundations? You know, how to correctly identify plants, how to wildcraft safely and feel really fluent in that, how to work with the seasons, and then how to formulate medicines based on your own elemental constitution, that of your clients and friends. And then finally from that, you know, how to dose and, you know, be careful, contraindications, all of these kind of areas that we really need to have a foundation in. And I've gathered a lot of this information throughout, you know, the last 10 years of working with plants, and I really want to offer it in a way that's affordable and accessible. So I offer payment plans. You can pay it up front, which is quite affordable for what you're receiving. And yeah, it's just, you know, I feel so excited to birth something like this because I don't think it's really available out there for the price that you're going to get it. So love to have you there on this first offering of mine, and feel free to reach out if you'd like to hear more about it from me to see if it's the right fit for you. But all the best, all my love, and sending so much love to everyone out there who listens, and love to the plants.